For members only, Golf Smarter number 276, published on March 29, 2011.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Torrey Pines, host of the 2008 U.S. Open from the inside.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
We have two guests today to discuss the first municipal course to ever host a U.S. Open. We start with the course manager of Torrey Pines, who's an employee of the City of San Diego, Scott Bentley. Welcome to Golf Smarter for Members Only, Scott.
Yeah, well, thanks, Fred.
How are you?
Nice to be here. I'm doing great.
Now, you got two golf courses there, Torrey Pines North, which doesn't get the publicity that the other course does, Torrey Pines South, because of the Open and the regular tour stops. What's the difference between the two courses, and why does North not get the love of its twin sister?
Well, the South course, of course, had the major, the U.S. Open, and has the tour event, plays three out of their four rounds there. So it's the famous course, and, you know, it's the one everybody comes to town to play, so the demand for that is much higher. The other things that we've done, because of the demand's higher, and we want to make sure the golf experience is still, what people expect, we've gone to 10-minute tee times on the South course to kind of spread the play out, provide a better round of golf. But between the two of them, you know, they both have beautiful views. The South course was upgraded about 10 years ago. Reese Jones came in and did some of the changes and made it the course that is today. And the North course hasn't gone through any kind of renovation like that. We have lengthened the course out on the North course. It now is over 7,000 yards. And it's a good touch test of golf. We had the same maintenance standards. The greens are nice, smooth, quick, fast greens. And again, the views are just as incredible there as they are on the South course. So it's just really the reputation of the South course, I think, that makes the biggest difference. A lot of our locals like to play the North course. They find that much more pleasant round of golf for them. It's not quite as demanding because of the number of bunkers and the way the greens are built, where the South course has got a lot more sand and the greens, a lot more tiers and different kinds of rolls on the green.
I've heard rumors that to be able to play around on the South course on a weekend, it's not so easy to get a tee time for locals or anybody who's traveling.
It is difficult. We set aside a limited number of tee times that can be pre-sold to non-residents. There are a very limited amount of those times available each day, usually only, four or five tee times that we can pre-sell.
Wow.
And then the majority of the tee times go to the residents. Our goal here is to have 70% of our rounds on the golf course be resident rounds, and only 30% non-resident.
And how do you assure that? Do they have to show their ID?
Yeah, non-resident has to purchase an ID card. It's $25 per year, and that allows them to make tee times over our automated system 7 days in advance.
And that's the farthest in advance you can make a tee time is only 7 days.
That's for residents.
Non-residents
can make tee times from 8 to 90 days out, but they will pay a reservation fee for the right to make that tee time. There's a fee involved.
And how are your fees, and since you've come from both sides of it, how are your fees compared to, like, the resort? I know you're in La Jolla, actually, which is north of San Diego, right?
Yeah.
Near UC San Diego. And there's some beautiful resorts in the San Diego area that probably charge much more than you guys do, I have to imagine, knowing California golf prices.
Well, our non-resident fee is fairly comparable to a lot of resort prices.
And what is that?
It's $183 Monday through Thursday for the South course. And then on weekends for the South course, it's $229. And then for weekdays on the North course, it's $100 for non-residents. and $125 on Friday through Sunday.
And as a resident, how much savings is there for you?
Quite a bit. The resident rate is more what you'd find at our, you know, a lot of our mid to higher level daily fee courses out here. It's $61 Monday through Thursday, and it's on the South course again. And then on the weekends, it's $76. And then on the North course, we're charging $40 Monday through Thursday and $50 on the weekends.
It's golf 12 months a year for you guys.
Oh, yeah. It never slows down. This time of year, you know, what we call winter, January, February, March. Well, January, we always have the Farmers Insurance open, so we actually are closed to the public for just under 2 weeks. And then the rest of the time, this is the time of year we have a lot of the snowbirds down. People from up north come out and play. And one thing that always surprised me, you come out here, even on a rain day, and it's raining. Rain's been predicted. It's raining. They say it's going to be like 60 degrees. And you see these people from up north wearing shorts.
Wait a minute. Is 60 degrees supposed to be cold for you guys?
That's cold for us. I mean, our temperatures are pretty mild. We range between, you know, the high 60s to the mid 70s almost all year.
I'm in Northern California, and it was last week. It topped out at about 62, and I was wearing shorts.
Well, to come out and play golf, see in the rain, and you know it's already raining out, and they're showing up in shorts to play golf, and it's raining, and it's like less than 60 degrees, and they're out there in line.
What time do they get in line in the morning?
They'll show up when it's busy as early as 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Wow.
And because what we do, you know, along with, you know, holding certain times for that we pre-sell, as I discussed earlier, we also are open just for walk-in business up till 7:30 every morning. So that's why there's a pretty good crowd every morning. We don't take tee times for those early times. That's just walk-in. So residents and non-residents alike, you know, they get out here early, 5, 5:30, 4:30.
And most of those guys probably know one another and probably have a sense of, uh-oh, the line is this long, forget it, I'm not going to make it. I mean, did people know, you know, if they're going to get in or not, and what's the reaction when they get turned away?
I think some of the regulars probably have a good idea, but you never know that one person in line can be reserving a foursome.
Right.
So it's or it could be just a single.
Can you reserve more than a foursome?
No. Okay. On the walk-in, you can only have one foursome.
Okay.
But that's been going on forever. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, I used to play up here quite a bit because I'm a San Diego native, grew up here. And
okay.
We had our own group. We had a great skins game every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And, you know, three or four or five of the guys would get out here really early and get in line for us to get our tee times. And at one point, it actually started the night before. They used to show up at 10 or 11 o'clock.
No.
And put a bag in line. We use a bag system here, too.
What does that mean? What is a bag system?
You put your golf bag in line.
Okay.
And you put it against the railing. And then when the starter opens up, you need to be there instead of your bag to sign up. But they were coming the night before, 11, 12 o'clock at night, put their bag in line, go sleep in their van, and get up at 5:30 or 6 when the starter's booth open, and got us our tee times for the morning.
Wow. That's crazy.
It was nice time to play, though. 6:30 is really nice out here in the summer, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, I bet. It must be beautiful. And you're right on, you're not on the water. Aren't you on a geographically, you're more on a cliffs?
You're not at sea level, but, you know, some of our holes are just off the beach. They're just straight down, down the cliff.
Right. I mean, if you've seen it on TV at all, yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity a couple of years ago. I played there, and I did a walk-on at 11 o'clock on a Sunday, and I did a walk-on because it was raining, and nobody was out there. And it was raining hard enough that after five holes, I'm like, okay, I'm completely soaked. I think I'm going to be quitting after nine. I just couldn't. I mean, I was just completely drenched. And then by the seventh hole, it started clearing up. And by the time we got to the turn, it was beautiful out. So we just kept going the whole time. But your famous third hole, I remember driving over the green and not knowing exactly where I was. The guy I was partnered with was very familiar with the course, and I'm standing there looking for my ball just past the green. You know, it drops down a little bit, and he goes, right. You know, right below you is the ocean. I went, where? It was not only rainy, it was very foggy, so I couldn't see the water. And he goes, no, right there. And I'm like, where?
Yeah.
He goes, if you take another couple steps, you'll be in it. You're going to fall off and be in it. I'm like, come on. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You just fall down those cliffs. But they were pretty high up above. But the third and fourth hole are right on the cliff, the beach cliffs there on the south course. And over on the north course, we have the sixth hole. Goes down the hill, gets pretty close. And the seventh hole runs right along the cliff as well. So beautiful. Like I say, both courses are very similar in the views that you get of the ocean and, you know, the natural beauty that they have.
Well, Scott, congratulations on getting this job. I hope you're able to keep it for a long time. And thanks for your time. We're going to do a second part of this interview, and we're going to be talking to Joe DeBock.
That's correct. Yeah, Joe DeBock, he is the head professional here for the Torrey Pines Golf Corporation, who the city leases out to the operation of the golf shop and the driving range and electric carts. And so Joe oversees all that and also does a lot of teaching at their teaching center. So our head pro, Joe DeBock, will be up next.
Welcome to Golf Smarter for Members Only. Joe?
Hello, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. You just got a very nice introduction by Scott Bentley, who we just spent a few minutes with. And you and Scott are on very different sides of this golf course.
Yes, we are. You know, we're on two sides of the business. He works for the city of San Diego, and we're a private company that handles the concessions and the services here at Torrey Pines.
Okay. So how's business over there at Torrey Pines these days?
Well, this year is pretty good. We had a great tournament, the Farmers Insurance Open, and the gate was really good. The crowds were good. The sales were good. And, of course, we had a great champion as well, Bubba Watson. But the previous 2 years were really slow, and I think the economy kind of took its toll. But this year, no doubt, saw a nice little comeback, and hopefully things are on the right track.
What does that mean for a course like Torrey Pines when you say things are really slow? I mean, we've talked over and over again about the state of the industry in golf and how courses are having a really tough time staying. Oh, private courses are practically giving it away, and no new courses are being built anymore, it seems like. But Torrey Pines is a very popular course. So when you say things are down, what does that mean?
Well, I've been here 23 years, and Torrey Pines, even in the bad times, was always recession-proof. Never got hit with any kind of slowdown on the economy. The rates were affordable. It's always in great shape. Has a great history, and so never really any slowdown. We had the Open, which was very successful before it and after it, but a year after the Open, it kind of, you know, rounds slowed up a little bit midday. You didn't have the big wait list in the morning. And it was finally noticeable that it finally even caught up with Torrey Pines a little bit. The economy hit hard.
And people aren't lining up. That's just such an interesting phenomena to me.
Well, it's coming back a little bit now. So.
And is that a good thing for you guys? When people are getting lined up at 4 o'clock in the morning trying to, you know, put their bags in line?
Well, you know, just from my standpoint of the business with the driving range and outside services, lessons and the golf shop, when there's a lot of people around, you get a lot of sales, a lot of people using your range. When there's not a lot of wait list or a lot of people around, the sales aren't as great. Now in the morning, you're starting to see the crowds coming back, and the weekends, sometimes they'll start sleeping in their cars again, or the busy time of year when they're having the PGA Tour event or even the Junior Worlds, and it gets busy still. So it's busy. We're running pretty good right now this year.
But you're a muni, right? I mean, really, when it comes down to it, you're a municipal course.
Yes, we are, and you look at that, and, you know, we do have two very nice hotels on the property, and they do get tee times with their hotels, and the city of San Diego requires that 30% is non-residents, and 70% is residents. So we're kind of a mix of a lot of different golfers. We have, you know, we have 30% high end paying a good fee to come out and play, and we have the local residents, we have the senior golfers, we have the men's and ladies club, and we get a lot of the you know, the clubs, country club people coming over and playing as well. So we're a municipal, owned by the city, yes, and but, you know, I say we're a good variety mix, you know, when it comes right down to it, what we actually cater to.
State of California right now is in a serious budget crisis. Governor Brown is threatening to do elections, so to ask if he can, you know, raise taxes. And we're not going to go into that. But from your perspective, looking up, how does that impact a municipal course? With these budgets being slashed, UCs, you know, students and employees losing jobs and crazy, does a golf course feel that? Is it park and rec? What's the impact?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody, you know, once the state cuts back, the city has to cut back. And, yeah, I think it's felt across the board a little bit. We're an enterprise account at Torrey Pines, meaning the money that's made is from whatever's made out here is put back into the system or put back into general golf, for golf and local citizens of San Diego. But yes, it will take its toll. You know, with the drought we had the last couple of years, and you know, the watering restrictions, and that hurts the economy as well. But I know we got a lot of rain now, and the reservoirs are all filled up, and I think that had a huge impact on the economy of California. But you're right, it's going to come down. It's going to affect everybody and anybody, because people aren't going to play a lot of golf if they just lost their job or if times are hard. But it seems to me that we're coming out of it instead of retreating here. And at least what I'm seeing with sales and the use of range and the lessons and people playing, I hope it doesn't have too big of an impact. But, of course, you never know.
Really, you never know. Yeah. You're right. And our fingers are crossed that we are coming out of it and that everyone's going to start feeling more confident and spending more money, obviously, in the pro shop. You were saying that you've gotten a lot of rain. I've actually played Torrey Pines South a few, I would say, weeks, maybe a month before the Open in 2008. Okay. And I did it as a walk-on on a Sunday morning at 11:30. Now, how is that possible? Well, it was raining, and and so nobody was out there. And it was myself and one other guy who I just met on the course, who plays the course on a regular basis. And it was just the two of us out there, and it was raining pretty hard, and it had been. So we had the luxury of moving along, except the rain just made it just. Ugh, I hated it. But besides that, the rain stopped and we played the back nine in beautiful weather. But I know that because the U.S. Open was coming and because you had a lot of rain, the condition of the course, the rough was incredibly high. And luckily, like I said, the guy I was playing with was very familiar with the course, so he knew where the ball was every single time. I mean, he was just so familiar. What do you have to do to prepare for something like the U.S. Open? I understand you're a historian of Torrey Pines, so you really know.
Yeah. You know, I did study the history of the U.S. Opens, and that's reading a lot of books and reading about what they've done in the past with golf courses and their conditions as well. We have Kikuyu grass here, and it's hard to play out of. It grabs the club. You know, it kind of crawls along the ground, and it's very grabby. And yeah, they did a really nice job. My hat's off to the superintendent and the people that did the maintenance out here. They did a great job. I think they satisfied the USGA. It went remarkably well. And you know, we get no rain in June, and we did get some nice rains prior, which just helped out with the golf course. But the preparation that they have now and that they do is really top-notch, and it's well done. And even if we did have some bad weather, I still think it would have been in really good shape.
And right now, you've had a lot of bad weather. How's the course? Because I'm coming down there.
Yes, it's actually really good. You know, the rain just makes everything look green, and I know it's healthy for the grasses as well. It's in really good shape, and you're probably going to have a great time playing it.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. So when the USGA comes in and I guess the city has to bid, or Torrey Pines, somebody has to bid to the USGA or beg the USGA to bring an event there. How does that work?
It was led by one man, Jay Raines, and he had a vision, and he pulled a group of people together with a lot of money, and had Reese Jones come in and redo the golf course. You know, he's the open doctor, and Reese knows what needs to be done to get a U.S. Open. And so they put this money into the golf course, kind of taking a chance, and it was a donation. And it came out great, and it all worked out. In fact, I remember Mike Davis called me a long time ago when the U.S. Open was just a twinkle. And I knew something was up, and he called me personally, wanted to come out and look at the golf course. And it was late in the day, and I hung around, and I wanted to make sure he had a good experience. And so I stayed and got here and took him to all the great spots and talked it up as much as I could. All turned out pretty well. But I even asked Mike Davis, I said, "Do you remember that day you came in?" He goes, "Absolutely." So I was kind of his first contact here, his first visit to the golf course. And I feel like I played my small role and promoting the heck out of it. And now the audience,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the audience is not necessarily industry insiders. Mike Davis is with the USGA. What does he do with them?
Well, now he's the executive director. He just got the position.
But when he contacted you, what was his position?
He was the head of rules and competitions for the USGA. He's well-known, remarkable job in setting up U.S. Open golf courses and all USGA events as well. But he's the man for the USGA.
So what's the chances of them coming back for another one, a major?
Oh, I think they will. There's nothing on the books yet, and there's always behind the scenes politicking. And I know the mayor of San Diego gave him an open invitation right after the tournament to come back,
and now we have a different mayor probably.
Oh, it's the same one right now.
Oh, okay.
but he does leave office at the end of 2012, but
right.
I think we will get one, and probably not in the near future, but I know 2018's open, but I'm thinking probably more in the 2020 era, somewhere in there. It'll have to come back. It was such a spectacular open. Everything was off the charts, and a great championship, and I don't think they've had too many better opens than that. That's definitely in the top three that I know of.
Yeah, well, especially with spectacular endings, right?
Yeah. You couldn't do it any better.
Right.
It's really great.
Right.
Yeah.
Why'd they pick the South Course over the North?
They were deciding early on that they might even use a little bit of the North and a little bit of the South. But the South, that's always been the course that they use in the PGA Tour event. And they put a lot of emphasis and probably more work on that course, and so that one was more prepared for the Open. But it was kind of interesting. I always kind of think about if they used a little bit of the North, the ocean holes on the North, and then the ocean holes in the South, the front nine of each, and how that would have worked out, and how spectacular that would have been as well.
What is the difference between the two courses?
Well, the South course is a lot longer. It's a lot longer, and there's a lot of bunkering now with what Reese Jones did with the bunkers in the fairways. He has defining the holes now. They're hard to position around them. They do find their way around your ball or in your ball or whatever. If you miss the ball around the greens, you're in deep green bunkers, and it's hard to play. And there's some very good long holes. But you have the rough as well to play against, and Torrey's wide open, but it's tight. It's tight with that Kikuyu grass, being the barriers on the rough.
Wait. Yeah. You just said it's wide open and it's tight. Make up your mind.
Yeah, it looks wide open, but if you're in the rough,
I see what you're saying.
It's a half a shot.
Yeah. So then. So you just told me the differences of, or the advantages.
The North Course.
Yeah, what about the North Course?
The North Course, it's it's pretty scenic, and some people think it's a little more scenic. It's playable. It's easy to score on. In fact, the when the tournament's here, the PGA Tour tournament, you know, the scoring difference is anywhere from usually 3 shots difference, maybe 4, sometimes 2, but it plays a lot easier than the South. And if you don't get a good round going, at least during that tournament on the North course, you know, you'll lose a lot of shots to the field. But it's a great playable golf course, a lot less bunkering. And the greens are front to back. They slope from front to back and not as difficult to putt. Sometimes they get a little fast on that side, but where the South course is, there's 3 little small pockets on each of the greens. And, you know, and that's pretty good pin positions. And so if you're not in the right spot on the South course, it's easy to 3-putt.
People always say, you know, the ball's going to break towards the water. The ball's going to break towards the water. Is that necessarily the case for both of these courses?
Yeah, more so in the North now. It used to be that way with the South. You know, the grain and the sloping of the terrain. But Reese did a pretty good job building them up and as I said, putting those pockets in. But the general rule, I would still say that applies, but not as much as the Old South.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were talking about when visitors come and they stay at the hotel, there's opportunities to play there. Do the locals get a preferred rate over the visitors?
Oh, yes. You know, locals can make time 7 days in advance through an automated system. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't have too hard of a problem. They need to be right on top of it and call right at the right times. But they can usually get on, and it's a heck of a rate. You know, the locals, what is it, $61 on the South course during the week for a local and $40 on the North course. It's
wow.
Very affordable compared to the out-of-towner. You know, it's $183 on the South and $100 on the North.
Oh, wow.
And the weekends and holidays, it's a little more expensive.
But can the visitor make something, make a tee time farther in advance than 7 days?
Yes, and that's... Yeah. That's a good system. They can go 90 days in advance.
Oh, so yeah, that makes sense.
If you're coming to San Diego and you have to get on the golf course and just call 90 days out, you shouldn't have too much of a problem.
Do you do online booking as well?
The city of San Diego handles all the reservations and mm-hmm. And the tee times, which is separate from our operation. Our operation is the carts, range, instruction, golf shop, and we handle the day-to-day operations of the tournaments. The city handles the tee times and starting operations, and so they don't have online reservations
yet,
though.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. I'm curious. Here we are in starting the season for 2011, the playing season for a lot of the country. You know, you guys are 12 months a year, right?
Yes, 12 months.
Yeah. So here we are starting the 2011 season, pretty much, and the Open was just about 3 years ago. In the pro shop, is that still the most popular item, stuff that say U.S. Open on it?
Well, we still have some hats and ball markers and balls. And yes, they still get they're still pretty popular.
That's crazy.
But we've pretty much gone back to mostly the Torrey Pines merchandise. But yeah, you can still get some souvenirs here. But we were selling the U.S. Open merchandise, you know, up to 4 years prior to the Open. And that was a sight to see, a learning experience, and how fantastic sales can be at times, and what the U.S. Open does to your facility. You know, it puts it on the map forever. And
Right. So what does that do to the local competition? I mean, is Torrey Pines the benchmark for how many green fees are substantiated and reserved in the area? Because, you know, you have inland, you have some high-end courses.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt that the U.S. Open helped all the courses here. They got on the map a little bit, too, by people coming in the town that are huge golfers and that played, you know, around the U.S. Open time. And, you know, it highlighted a lot of other facilities. But our facility, you know, even though it's still a hard, probably not as easy to get on the as the other golf courses in the area. But there's some pretty nice golf courses here in San Diego.
Oh, that's very kind of you to be. Come on, brag about your own house.
Yeah.
But you are leading the way for San Diego, and it's a great tourist destination. So if you want to bring your golf clubs, it's worth it.
Yeah, you got, you know, the hang gliders and the parasailers out there are up 300 days a year. Most likely, if you're playing here, you're going to have sunshine. They're going to be up. And you're going to have a nice day of golf on a great golf course that's usually is in great condition.
You can see hang gliders right off the edge of the course there?
Oh, yeah. They're right over your head.
Awesome.
Right over your head on the third and fourth hole.
Oh,
you
wow.
can talk to them if you want to. They're just buzzing right above you.
Anybody ever get hit by a ball?
Oh, no. No, I don't think so. They land, you know, sometimes they get too far over the land, and the draft hits the cliff and pushes straight up. So they stay on the cliff line, and... But if they get over the golf course a little bit, they have to land. They land, and but they just walk right over the edge, and or just go right off the cliff again. And
but
they zoom out.
They land on the course.
They don't mean to, but sometimes they just get a little too far inland, and there's no breeze, there's no updraft, and so.
But that's not going to do any damage. They're just landing on their feet, right?
It's they're just a little parachute coming down. They walk it over to the edge.
Whee!
The chute pops up, and they're off again. And then we do have them land
Geronimo!
On the cliff, and there are some rescues occasionally out here that they have to, that seems like a few times a year, that they have to get them off the cliffs. yeah, it's... But a sight out here, it really is the coastal sights on the whole.
So excited. I'm so excited. All right, so tell me, what club do I need in my bag to play? We're going to go on each course briefly. And what shot do I have to have as, now let's preface this, as a mid-handicap or high-handicap player? Because the group that I'm traveling with, we have both of those, but we have no low-handicappers.
Okay.
So we're all hackers, and, you know, we have the one guy from Chicago who comes in who doesn't get to play that much. We have a guy from Seattle who, no matter how many lessons he takes, he sucks. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is it that we're going to have in our bag to play each of these courses?
Well, you're going to have a L wedge or a high little shot around the greens on the south course. Just to get to the right spots on the greens and the bunkering, you got to have your A game with the sand of the bunkers. You're going to be in them, and they're unavoidable.
A lot of hand wedges going to go happen. I have a feeling.
Yeah, yeah. And if you have a long driver, you know you're going to need to hit some good drives. It makes the whole game easier on the south course. The north course you're going to enjoy. You're going to score a lot better on the north course. And it's, as I said earlier, it's scenic and it's playable, and you're happy. It's a south course. If you don't mind the getting beat up a little bit, which a lot of people just love going back as far as they can and playing the heck out of the south course and shooting a great big score, but you know that's what they're there for. They want to play the whole thing and get beat up. But it beats everybody up anyway.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because maybe, just maybe, you'll have a great round that you can brag about. Otherwise, say, oh, yeah, I played Torrey Pines, but you don't talk about your score.
It can get the best of them.
Okay, so when we talk about a middle handicap or high handicap player, and you look at the scorecard before you get started on your round, and for some reason... most of the people that I've ever played with, I notice that when they're looking to play a course they've not played and decide which tee box to hit from, they look at the yardage, which I've never understood. I would think I'm trying to look at consistency, you know, what you can call consistent as far as the rating and slope. And I look at the slope, and if I'm in a range of I know if it's 122, 125, I'm going to score fairly well. If it's, you know, like I'm at the 128 to 132, I'm going to probably shoot in the 90s somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so that's the gauge that I use.
Okay.
Which I don't think most people do. Don't you think they look at yardage?
So, well, it did become a factor when, you know, during the U.S. Open where the course is majoring out at 7,600 yards plus. And, you know, people do talk about it. But you bring up an interesting point. If you're, you know, a slope of 125, that would be our gold tees out here. The white tees are 133, I believe, and
that's fun.
137 for the blue and 144 for the black.
Wow!
But I would recommend the white tees, so you can feel a little bit of the south, the true south there. So you get a little of the pain of the length and the feel of the course. The gold tees are about 6,100 yards.
Okay, so when you recommend the white tees, now this is something I'm curious about. You recommend the white tees, then all of a sudden these fairway bunkers come into play, right? So am I going to be in less trouble if I play from the blues? If I play a little bit back so I can't reach those bunkers? I can't reach this much trouble?
Yeah, you won't reach them from the blues, but you're going to have a long shot in.
On the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a little give and take there, I guess. If the rough is playing hard, which it is right now, the ball just sinks in it, and very difficult to get out. I think you'll be worse playing the blues, missing the bunkers, because the rough is just as penalizing. Sometimes out here, the bunkers, the fairway bunkers, are a favor. It's flat. You can hit the ball out of them. Versus the rough, you got to take a wedge out sometimes, and that's the way it is right now. I played yesterday. The ball sinks. If you're not hitting the fairways,
just bring a bunch of balls. It's easy to lose the balls.
I would say that's the biggest hazard on both golf courses right now is the rough. And wait till you see the fairways on the north. How narrow those fairways are right now.
So driver may not be the smart play every time.
Yeah. I think you'll probably hit driver around. just the length of the courses.
And are the fairways bunkers play differently? Is it almost a different kind of sand than your greenside bunkers?
They're the same sand, the same. But the south course, the bunkering on the fairways is a lot stronger, a lot harder than the north course,
and not as deep. From what
there's just really kind of two V-shaped bunkers in front of the greens on the north course, small, and. In the south course, they're big. The whole greenside bunkers on one side or the other or both.
So what I'm gathering from you and what you've explained about these courses, and I'm so excited to come down, and I hope we get a chance to meet while I'm there, is there's two things that you need to remember when you're playing these courses. One, have a great attitude. Come down for fun and don't worry about your scoring. If you score well, yay.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, bring your camera.
Bring your camera. That's two. Bring your camera. And then number three is one of my favorite rules, and I try to bring it to every single round I play, never follow a bad shot with a stupid shot.
Yeah. If you do, you're going to make some big numbers out here.
Yeah. So just play it safe. If you make a bad shot, just get yourself back in the fairway and don't try to reach the green. You're just going to make things worse.
Yeah, just to remember, when you hit your first shot off the tee, for your next shot, are you on offense or are you on defense? And get back to the fairway if you're in the rough and don't leave yourself. It's so easy to make a 6, 7, or 8 out here just by, like you said, you said it perfectly, just following a bad shot with a stupid shot. You can't do that here. You're in trouble if you do.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Well, quickly, tell us if we want to get a lesson with you. We're down there maybe the day before a round or something. How do people get in touch with you, and what can they do with you when they're there?
Well, I'd be happy to give anybody a lesson, and I am busy. But
congratulations.
I would definitely get you in. Thank you. I'd definitely get you in.
Mention Golf Smarter, please.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Thank you. You can reach me at torreypinesgolfcourse.com and lesson side of the website, and it'll take you to all our promotions and all our schools and private lessons as well. Or you can just call me directly here at the golf course, and as I said, I'd be happy to give you a lesson.
Okay, so it's torreypinesgolfcourse.com?
Yep.
Not
yep.
.gov?
The city of San Diego's address for the Torrey Pines Golf Course is sandiego.gov/Torrey Pines. And then you'll see on their website that they handle the tee times reservations and the maintenance of the course and the calendars, and we handle all the other stuff.
Awesome. Joe DeBock, head pro at Torrey Pines, thank you for the tee tour. Thank you for your time. I really enjoyed it and looking forward to playing down there.
Yeah, thanks for talking with me.
Up next, another show with two guests, Phil Auerbach of GolfCoachDirect.com and one of the many PGA professional instructors available on that site to answer your questions. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, Leave a message toll-free at 415-448-6788 or click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.